Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. Got some visitors with us. We're glad to have you come worship with us. Have a few prayer requests before we get started. Marion's requested prayers for her uncle, Roston Maxey, who has multiple myeloma and has just been diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus. She requests prayers for him. And also, Dick and Peggy request prayers for a friend of theirs in Lincoln, Angie, whose mom, Marilyn, has just been diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer. And the prognosis does not look good. So let's keep them in prayers. And also, Nicole Fulbright's cousin has just gotten married, and she was diagnosed with COVID and is now in ICU, and they request prayers for her. What a way to start out a marriage. Today we're going to look at a lesson. Actually, I want to thank Diane Franks for the idea of this lesson. It's called Inconvenient or Suffering. We were talking a few months ago. We'd gone out to supper with Diane and was talking to her. I hope she's watching right now. Thanks, Diane. But just the differences between something that's inconvenient for us and something that is true suffering. On your outline, there are some spaces there you might have some ideas of something you have gone through recently that's been very inconvenient. We're going to go through a few ourselves, but you might have some very unique things that fit your life recently. You know, a water line breaks. Not the end of the world, but it sure is inconvenient. It can cost quite a bit of money. You got to shut the water off and all that stuff. It's quite an inconvenience to go through something like that. The air conditioning goes out, you know. I know Kathy, that's her bread and butter. She looks at it a little bit differently, you know, than we do. She's thinking, you know, that pays our bills. But it's an inconvenience. And I tell you, now going out, it's not as bad as it was maybe a few weeks ago when it was 115, 117. It's rough, but it's an inconvenience to have to call up Kathy's company and they'll send people out, but it's still an inconvenience. You go out and your car battery's dead. It takes a little bit of time. You got to ask the neighbor for a jump, or if you've got another car, pull it up and put the cables on, jump, and then you're on your way. It's not the end of the world, but it is a little bit of an inconvenience. The light bulb goes out. I don't know about you. It always happens at night to where you got to take a flashlight in to change it. You know, either that or wait till the morning where it doesn't do it during the day where you still got enough light to change it by. You stub or break your toe. I don't know if you've ever done that, break a toe. Your whole body feels it. You know, you usually get that boot put on and you're walking around clomping around. It heals, but it lets you know every step that you've got a broken toe. But there's a difference in inconvenience and suffering. Suffering is not the water line breaks. It's not having running water. I had the opportunity 19 years ago, man, it goes by so fast, to do a mission trip down in South America. And yes, it was a great opportunity to be able to preach the gospel every day to people, but I think the most eye-opening experience was seeing how other people live. and to see people that didn't have running water, to see the water source that they would get water from, a muddy canal. And when we had our baptistry set up with fresh water, there was a guy that thought that was the greatest thing going, because it cut down his travel time about by half to take his two buckets and to dip it out of the baptistry and to go back to his, I'm going to call it a hut. My playhouse growing up that my dad built me was about as nice. His house was a little bit bigger, but my playhouse was as nice, if not nicer, than where this man lived. And he was getting water out of a muddy canal, and now that it's clean water out of the baptistry, it cut his travel time by half. And I was saying, that's suffering. Not just a water leak or a water break, but not having running water. Not having air conditioning at all. That's suffering. I don't know how people lived here before air conditioning. There again, not many people did. I think in 1900, I think there was only 60 people living in the whole Las Vegas Valley. And not a lot of people dealt with no air conditioning. No electricity at all. That would be tough to live without it. But what it all boils down to is a matter of attitude. Whether it's an inconvenience is an inconvenience. Some people see an inconvenience as suffering. There's a lot of people in this world today. I mean, we throw that word around, snowflake, around quite a bit today. There's a lot of people that think true suffering or that their inconvenience is true suffering. A lot of it is attitude. And that's what we're going to look at. The difference between an inconvenience or suffering. We stub our toe. That's an inconvenience. There's a lot of people I will see that maybe don't have a foot, that doesn't have a leg to be able to walk. And I've always tried. I've heard some people give lessons before, and I always try to keep some of their lessons in mind to be thankful for my aches and pains. You know, I getting a little older, and I've abused my body quite a bit over the years. And you were talking about just sitting on the edge of the bed, and as a takes a while to get warmed up to get going. My knees, my neck, my shoulder. I thank God that He let me be as active as long as He has. And relatively still active. And I remember a sermon once about attitude. And that's what this is. Inconvenience or suffering is a matter of how we look at it. And the king of attitude was the Apostle Paul. And this was the scripture that we had read earlier. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Not when things are going your way. Not when things are hunky-dory. When you're at the top of those mountains. Just when things are good. Not when it crashes. What was it Frank Sinatra sang in that song, "Riding High in April, Shot Down in May"? You know. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he repeats it again. I will say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, kind of tying in with Dick's class about faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And there's the key, being thankful for any and all circumstances that you're being in. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think not only these words are important that he wrote, but when I think of the setting, Paul was in prison when he wrote those words. Paul was sitting in prison and was able, Paul got it about that peace of God. He got it. And he was able to write these things for people sitting in prison. Now, these verses that I want us to look at, there's not going to be any big, ta-da! There's none of that today. These verses are self-explanatory. And I think just by looking at them, I hope you get the point through Scripture about the attitude we need to have and the willingness to serve in spite of the circumstances. In Hebrews, the Hebrew writer is talking here in chapter 11, that great hall of faith. And in chapter 12, it talks about, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Well, the witnesses that is talked about here in 11, it's talking about some of these great servants of God that displayed great faith and some of the persecutions and true sufferings that they encountered during their life and in their service to God. And in verse 36, it says, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That's not just stubbing your toe. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. These prophets of God were preaching God's message. And the things that they suffered at the hands of the world, the world was not worthy of them. And they continued, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. But yet, nobody could have ever blamed them if they said, I can't do this. But they did it. Their attitude was, I'm going to serve God in spite of all of these sufferings that I'm facing. In Acts 5, we see the apostles. We see a number of things in this passage here, but we're looking at mainly this inconvenience, suffering, and serving God. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. I find it so interesting that just not too long ago the church had started. And a relatively handful of people had been preaching God's word. And they had filled Jerusalem with this teaching. They were having an effect. They had been told by the authorities, here is a perfect example of political disobedience to people that don't want you to do God's word. They did it anyway. Haven't we told you? These were the commanding people. These were the authorities telling them, don't preach and teach in his name. Oh, okay. You said not to, so we can't do it. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If the authorities told Paul, or excuse me, Peter and the rest of the apostles, quit teaching. You're filling Jerusalem with this doctrine. They're back there thinking, yeah, good. That's our purpose. That's our intention. We ought to obey God rather than men. It's a matter of attitude. We don't see this as a threat to us. We've got to uphold God's word. In Acts 1, right after the stoning and the martyrdom of Stephen, it says, Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That's suffering. The persecution was so great, many of those Christians scattered for risk of their lives. But they took their teachings with them. They took their religion with them. And this persecution that was trying to snuff out the church, all it did was blossom. Those seeds were scattered everywhere they went. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul was writing to them, talking about you don't want to stick to the law of Moses, because the law does not do anything of benefit for us. You can't. It's not a law of merit by what you do. And if you want to play that game, you can't measure up. You can't even measure up to me. And I can't measure up. And he goes into some of the things that he's encountered. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times he was beaten, 39 whips. I wouldn't want to encounter that. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul was able to endure all those things, but what he weighed more than the physical problems, his concern for the churches. Are they faithful? Are they remaining steadfast? How are they dealing with false brethren? That was his main concern. We're winding down here, going back to Philippians. Again, he wrote this from prison. But he says in chapter 1, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Amen. That's attitude. "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ." Even his captives, or his captors, have witnessed who his chains are really in. He's chained to Christ. We may have him in chains. He's not in chains to us. He's in chains to Christ. And even the other brethren, it says, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." That's attitude. That they see what Paul has gone through and he still does it, that gives me inspiration. That gives Titus inspiration. That gives Timothy inspiration to speak the word more boldly. Some things may be inconvenient. Some things may be true suffering. We've seen some people that suffered for the sake of God. But in spite of that, they still served God. And so do we. Like I said, there is no big whiz-bang light bulb going off. These are just some verses that I wanted us to look at, that it's a matter of attitude. We're all going to face things in life. If we don't, that would be shocking. But we're going to face things, and it's a matter of attitude. And the matter of attitude, are we still going to serve God? If we can be of service to you, we never like to leave an assembly without offering the invitation. The invitation is there 24 hours a day. But if you need to respond through baptism, through prayers, through if you need to repent of sin in your life, we urge you to do so now. If you need to respond, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.